Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Have you found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians 15, I'll read the text in just a minute, but let me bring you into where we're at. Matter of fact, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God. Let me read the text, then I'll bring you into where we're at. I want to look at one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. The Bible said this, "Therefore, my beloved, I'll get it out in a minute, praise God. I was poking fun at these other preachers, and now the Lord's going to curse me tonight. But anyway, my beloved brethren, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father, help us tonight meet the need of our service, God. Lord, you know the needs of our church, and I pray, God, that you'd meet them. God, will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look at this and talk to you just a little bit tonight about this verse. You know, sometimes we just go to one verse, we read that verse, and then we take off. And a lot of times we'll make this statement. Now, you know where we're at in the Scripture, and you know what's going on. But the longer I preach, the more places I preach and the more people I'm around, the more I've come to the realization that a lot of people have no clue where we're at in the Scripture and what's going on in the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is an amazing chapter in the Word of God. My soul, what great things are being talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Matter of fact, really, to sum up chapter number 15 of 1 Corinthians, it's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we do what we do today because we're serving a Savior that is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf. He's dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dealing really with the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, let me give this to you by way of introduction. And if you want a message on chapter 15, man, here it is. There's the preaching of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. And can I say this? The resurrection should be something that is preached not only at Resurrection Sunday, but in all aspects of our ministry, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the preaching of the resurrection. Then there is the proof of the resurrection. There is the proof of it. Hey, it is proven Jesus Christ did resurrect one third and glorious morning. Amen. Whenever you study this out, you'll find that here in chapter number 15, there is a sevenfold proof. Isn't that interesting? A perfect number, the number of perfection to assure us about the resurrection. Verse number 4, there's the Scriptures. In verse number 5, there's the Apostle Peter or Cephas. In verse number 6, there's the 500 brethren. In verse 7, there's James. In verse 7 again, there's all the apostles. And in verse number 8, there is Paul saying, "I saw him." There is the proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the pledge of the resurrection. Here, there's a sevenfold calamity if God or if Jesus did not resurrect. Verse number 13, Christ is not risen if he did not rise from the dead. Verse 14, our preaching is in vain. Verse 15, verse 14, our faith is in vain. Verse 15, we are false witnesses. Verse number 17, ye are yet in your sins if he didn't rise from the dead. Verse 18, the dead have perished. Verse 19, all men are most miserable. But can I say something to you? He did resurrect one third and glorious morning. There's the pattern of the resurrection. It's a twofold analogy in verse 37 and 38. There's the seed in the ground, verse 41 and verse 42. There is the stars in the sky. You know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying this. He did resurrect one third and glorious morning. Matter of fact, verse number 3 said this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the what? The Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to what? According to the Scriptures today." So according to the Word of God, Jesus not only was born, Jesus not only died, but thank God He resurrected one day. He is alive today. And it is a chapter dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I find this very interesting. He comes in to verse number 55 and he says this, "O death, where is thy sting?" Well, let me just back up. I wish I could read the whole chapter. I could, but you'd go to sleep. Look at verse 51. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You know what Job said? Let me just say this. You know what Job said? Job said, "All the appointed days of my life will I wait," what? "Until my change comes." Now, boy, isn't that interesting? The very first book of the Bible that was probably written, I know according to the canon it's not, but probably the very first book of the Bible that was written, he's already pointing forward to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the return of Christ. And he's saying this, hey, my storm may last here forever, but there's coming a day when my change will take place. I'll be likened unto the Son of God. I'm really just going to talk to you here in a minute, but I'm trying to get there. Look what he said in verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Hallelujah. Hey, if it's a child of God, hey, let me tell you what happens when they die. It's victory. Amen. It's victory, thank God. I was thinking, and we was talking this past week, son, about all four of my grandparents who's home to be with the Lord. I look forward to seeing them again. But you know what happened? The day that they died, victory is what happened. Man, they left this immortality. They left this corruption. Thank God there is coming a day when we will leave this corruption and this immortality. And thank God there'll be a day that we'll be with home with Him, and that is a victory. It's in the resurrection. He goes on to say, he says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." But thanks be to God. Oh yes, which giveth us the victory, watch this, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is not in anything else. Hear me and hear me well. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you're in the house of God tonight. I appreciate you being here tonight. But my victory is not in you. I appreciate the building God allows us to worship in. But my victory is not in that. My victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In that He was born by the way of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years. He never sinned the first first time. He never messed up the first time. He walked up Golgotha's hill and laid his life down willingly and died a graveyard dead for you and for me. But he did not stay dead. Thank God, one third and glorious morning. He resurrected victorious over death, hell, and the grave. 40 days later, he reached up and grabbed a cloud and pulled it down and said, glory, please, and ascended in back into the heavens. Oh, but aren't you thankful that he didn't leave us comfortless, but he sent a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, unto us. That's what my victory's in today. My victory's not in my storm. My victory's not in my trouble. My victory's in him. So he says this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now when we take those things into consideration, therefore, well, what's that therefore? Are you with me? What, therefore, well, what's that therefore? Let me tell you the reason that's therefore. He said, look back at what I've just told you. Look back at what I've just explained to you. Look back at what I've just said. When we look back at that and we evaluate where our victory lies at tonight. Preacher, you don't know what such and such done to me. You don't know what I've been through last year. Well, Paul said this, forgetting those things which are behind. You just don't know the hurt that I faced. You don't know the storm. And I'm not belittling hurt. And I'm not belittling storms. But if you're not careful, you'll allow hurt and the storm to belittle God. I don't serve God for you. I'm not here preaching tonight for you. If that's the reason I done it, Brother Josh, I'd have quit a long time ago. Let me tell you the reason why. You've let me down. Well, Miss Tanya, she's being honest tonight. She said amen. You've let me down. And you know what? This is when you don't say amen, Miss Tanya. I've let you down. Go ahead, you can say. She said hallelujah. That's not the reason we do what we do. That's not it. Brother Aaron, you don't put your heart into the kids because of the kids. Brother Josh, you when Brother Aaron's out, y'all fill in. We don't do it just for the kids. We do it for him. We do it for him. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about for a minute. All of that was just extra. He said, when we look back at that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, note this, and I'm going to give you three things, and I'm not going to go home and eat eggs and tater tots tonight. I got to craving an Arby's roast beef this evening, and Olivia's going to go get me an Arby's roast beef after service. He said, therefore, my beloved, there's that beloved. That's just a new accent. Beloved. Hey, beloved. I sound like, what's that guy from Alabama? Ken, what's his last name? Ken Bowman. That's it. Beloved. He'll watch this and call me and fuss at me. Who's he talking to right here? He's talking to us. He's talking to the saved. He said, my beloved brethren. Who's that? It's us. He said, here's what you need to do. As we go into this new year, I want you to look at these three words, and then we're going to circle back up at the end, and we're going to focus on one of them, make it our word for the year. But I want you to think about it. He said, number one, you need to be steadfast. You need to be steadfast. You need to be steadfast. Listen to what the word steadfast means. It means to be seated, settled, and firmly situated. In other words, just put real simple, he's saying you need to be grounded in what you believe. You need to be grounded in that. So, preacher, why are we having a why we use the King James Version revival? So you can be grounded, so you can be steadfast in that. This I see, we are to be stable. We're to be stable. So many today is rocking to and fro with every new version that comes out, with every new religion that comes out, with every new wave of doctrine that comes out. You know, if a preacher stands up and says something like, I'm going to preach to you something today that you've never heard before. According to the Bible, there's nothing new underneath the sun. And boy, they allure me and I can't call no names because we're on live feed and somebody may figure out who I'm talking about. But me and somebody else, if you don't know who it was, I'll tell you after service, okay? Me and somebody else and my wife and somebody else was talking yesterday. And they said, let me show you this video. I said, okay. It was very interesting. One got healed. And there was about four times in that. Now one individual looked at me and said, what's that mean? I said, kahala mahada hada hada is all I know. Are you with me? And it was an awfulest mess, Robert. And there was a whole crowd there, Brother Jeff. And I thought, what in the devil? And here's what I said. Where's this at? Mount Airy. Wow. So, preacher, what are you saying? It's amazing what will allure people. What will allure people? Let me tell you something tonight, church. In this year, you need to be stable. You need to be, what is it? Steadfast, seated, settled, and firmly situated. Firmly situated on what you believe. Number one, it says steadfast. That's we are to be stable. Number two, I preach along in the introduction that I am in this. This new year, may we not only be stable. Let me explain this, and before you say amen, we are to be stubborn. Some of y'all have no problem with that. We are to be stubborn. You said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, listen to this next word. He said that we're to be steadfast, unmovable. That word unmovable means this, not moved up from place to place, firmly persistent, motionless. What it means is this, steadfast means that we are seated, we are grounded, but this means that we are not moving from place to place. We're unmovable. We're unmovable. And I want to say something to you tonight. There is times that God moves us from one church to another church. I completely understand that. There is those times that God does that. But I'm going to tell you something. When somebody comes here to church and they say, hey, preacher, we're interested in joining. Well, the first thing we do now is go through the starting point class with them. And then they fill out a piece of paper that talks about wanting to join and where they've been members at. And you look back over the past 2 years and they've already been members at 13 churches. And they're not in the military moving. But Josh, they're not unmovable. They're not unmovable. Can I say something to you tonight? We need to be stubborn. What I mean by that is this. You need to determine they ain't nobody going to run you off from your place of service. I stand here tonight, and I'm so thankful that I stand here as the pastor. I'm so thankful that God allows me to pastor here. We don't have a yearly election of the pastor. That's out of hell. Amen. We don't have a yearly election of that. God placed me here. God called me here. You just obeyed God by voting me in as pastor. I don't mean that arrogantly and ugly. I'm just being honest with you. You know what you could do Wednesday night? You could get up and vote me out of the church, and I would leave if you'd done that. But I want to tell you something tonight. If you think that you're just going to run your mouth a little bit this year and get me out of the pulpit, you got another thing coming. If you think that you can throw something at me this year and get me out of the pulpit, you got another thing coming. You say, preacher, well, here's what I'm saying. By the help of God, I'm unmovable when it comes to pastoring Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I understand God may call me somewhere else and place me somewhere else. But until He comes, do whatever you want to do with the help of God. As long as the majority of the church is behind us, we're going to be unmovable and steadfast in what God's put us here to do. Well, they got my seat. Somebody moved my stuff. I'm just not. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Well, time out. I can't tell you the last time some of y'all in here shook my hand. Just going to be honest. I can't tell you the last time some of y'all come out that door, shook my hand and said, preacher, I enjoyed the preaching today. Thank you for putting your heart into it. But hey, guess what? My name's still on the sign down there. Boy, it's getting quiet tonight. Brother Josh, I'm still standing. I'm still preaching. I'm still serving God. I'm not doing it for you. May God help us this year to be stubborn. You're not pushing me out of my place. You say, well, preacher, I used to stand in a certain such place in the choir, and I'm going to tell you right now, we've got some new people that's come in, and they got where I used to stand. Well, thank God. Thank the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. There's more people coming in to play the piano. I've been playing it for the past 10 years, and there ain't nobody getting on the piano stool. Well, you might just want to hide and watch. Are you? Nah, I can preach like that because we've talked about this, and she needs this. No, I'm just picking. Come back. Y'all that's been here a long time knows that we have a love-hate relationship. But are you hearing me? That's where people get. And Brother Randy, they'll just quit going to church because of it. They'll just go sit at the house because of it. Church, may we be unmovable this year. May we be stubborn. There is the stubbornness. We're to be stubborn. We're to be stable. But watch this. Let me explain it, and then I'll be done. We are to be superabundant. Now, what does he say? He says, always abounding. That word abounding, now I'm going to tell you what superabundant means, but that word abounding has the ideal of exceeding a fixed amount. Watch this, overflowing or exceeding. Superabundant means this, abounding to excess, being more than is sufficient. Being more than is sufficient. Can I say it again? Being more than is sufficient. As a superabundant zeal. So we're to be abundant. In other words, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We're to be more than sufficient in what we're doing for God. Abundant, abounding. What is it? It's this, having the idea of exceeding a fixed amount. Here's what we've got in our mind. I'm saved now. I read my chapter a day. I say my prayers over my food. I say my prayers for my kids before they go to bed at night. And I'll go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But bless God, don't expect me to do anything else. Always abounding. Always abounding is this, that in everything you do for God, watch this, you go wild at it. You go wild at it. We was at youth camp year before last. And we had a little bit of time while we was getting everything together on that Monday after we eat lunch. Here's what we said. Said, we're going to have young preachers. And we had four different teams. So we got three of those teams had young preachers on them. We got them up in one team, didn't have a young preacher on it. We give them like 5 or 7 minutes apiece for Josh. And here's what we told them, go wild, man. Go wild. Just get up there and preach like a wild man. You said, preacher, did you? Yeah, I told them that. And then I hollered at them and agged them on while they was doing it. Are you with me? But the fourth team didn't have a young preacher on. So there was a guy there that was helping us in youth camp. He was a preacher, but he wasn't a young preacher. Matter of fact, he's in his mid-60s, and here's what he said. I'll be the preacher off of that team. I'll preach for that team. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I'll preach for that team. And I said, okay. And I'm going to tell you what, those other three got done. And Tommy Holder jumped up. Anybody know Brother Tommy Holder? Tommy Holder jumped up. And if they's ever been, for 7 minutes, he didn't breathe. He went wild. He was a drug addict. He was a drunk. And he jumped up. He said, I remember where I used to be. I remember the life I, and about 30 seconds into it, the glory fell. He said, I remember the life that I used to live, the way that I used to do it, but I just want to thank God tonight for saving me and for what He's done for me and transforming my life and calling me to, and I'm telling you, He went wild. When it comes to the service of God, you know what we do so many times? What is this always abounding gets this? Exceeding a fixed amount. Man, it's being super abundant. It's abounding to excess. It's being more than is sufficient as a super abundant zeal. God just saved us from hell. We're just serving your resurrected Savior. He said our life is to always be that. It's to always be that. Well, I'm just not an emotional person. You lie. You lie. I'm not lying. Well, I tell you what, there's a bunch of rednecks go to church here. You've heard me say this before. Now, I guarantee you out there in the parking lot somewhere is a truck that's got a hitch on the back of it. Are you with me? And if it's like mine, it sticks out further, and it's taller so you can raise it up and down. Are you with me? And you let you go walking out through the dark out there tonight, Brother Josh, and catch one of them re-sitches with your shin, and you'll probably forget about the day that you got saved for about 30 seconds. You might even fall into that verse I used this morning of having a form of godliness, denying the power therein. What do? You become emotional. You become emotional. Say amen. Rodney walked up behind me. We was out in the parking lot this morning before Sunday school. The parking team was out there doing things, and me and Brother Mark had gotten to watching some crazy videos that was on my phone from 2015. In a youth activity we done with Foothills when he was very first started. Rodney walked up behind me and went to grab me. I had my hands in my pockets. So whenever he poked me, I was trying my best to punch Mark, but I couldn't get my hand out of my pocket. And they was all laughing, and Rodney said this, I always move to the side when I do that because he has donkey kicked me before. I remember one night Josh Jenkins walked up behind me and he poked me like that. And I went just like that before I even realized it. I really don't mean to hurt people. And it brought the blood out of his shin. And Josh never said one time, thank you, God, for allowing me to do this. But he did say some things. Why? Because he's emotional. We can get emotional about everything else. You let little Johnny You let little Johnny swing the bat the right way. Somebody say amen. You let little Sally swing the bat the right way or shoot a goal at the buzzer and win the game, and you'll lose your ever-loving mind. But don't expect me to do anything out of the ordinary for God. Don't expect me to raise my hand for God. What does he say? He says that we're to be always abounding. Always abounding. In other words, that we're always going over the top. We're to be stable. We're to be stubborn. We're to be super abounding. I read this. Miss Daniel, you care to come start playing softly? I'm headed back to one word in just a second. But I read this, and I want to give it to you. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When weary from defeat, dejection, depression, or death, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When worried about problems from the past, problems from the past, problems in the present, and prospects in the future, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When weakened like a frayed rope rotted by the sands of time, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When wobbly and aged like a rickety old bridge over a deep canyon, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When worn like a steel beam corroded by rust and pressure, just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If I could leave you with one word, I would leave you with this, and I'll give you one illustration and we'll go home. Steadfast. You know what we need to be this year? We need to be steadfast. We need to be grounded. We need to be grounded. We need to know what we are, why we are, why we're here. Why are you at Amazing Grace Baptist Church? Well, I just happened to land here. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. God put you here for such an appointed time as this. And you can do one of two things. You can serve or you can see it. You can sing or you can sigh. You can shout or you can be silent. Are you with me tonight? May we be steadfast. Why does he say that we do this? Because we know that our labor is not in vain. There's a reward one day. It was 1968. The Olympics was taking place. There's a country called Tanzania. Their runner was running in the marathon. His name was John Stephen Akawa, if I'm saying that right. A little ways into the race, he fell, gnashing his knee and also causing a dislocation and smashed his shoulder. The medical team got to him and instructed him that he needed to abandon the race and go to the hospital. He looked at him and he said, "Here's what I need you to do. I need you to bandage me up. I'm not going to abandon the race." They did that. He got back in the race. And over an hour and a half after the winners had crossed the finish line, they had had the ceremony and even put the medals on the winners. And the majority of the people had left the stadium. Matter of fact, if you go home and look it up, you can watch him running into the stadium in 1968. You can see it on video. It's very interesting. As he comes into the stadium, Brother Aaron, after everybody's gone, just a few left in the stands, the bandages that was put on his knees are waving in the wind. They've practically worn off. He's limping, he's barely moving, but he crosses the finish line. And they interviewed him, and here's what he said. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. And can I say something tonight? I want to finish, but I want to finish right. I want to be steadfast. I don't want to move to and fro. Hey, look up in here. I'm not interested in changing in doctrine. Man, I want to be steadfast. And when the year, let me tell you what the world needs. They need us to be steadfast. They need us to be steadfast. As we enter a new year, can I ask you a question? Would you find your place in an altar and say, God, help me to be steadfast this year? The devil's going to try to get you to quit. Matter of fact, can I just get real personal? They, some of y'all on the borderline of quitting already. You say, well, how do you know? I believe God lets a pastor see some things. Just right there, is what I do even worth it anymore? The storms have got you down. The battles have got you down. Now the devil's all over you. You know what we need to do tonight? We just need to pile up in an altar and say, at the end of 2024, I'm still going to be in my place. I'm still going to be serving God. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not quitting. Let come what may. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm just going to stay faithful. Father.